Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Friday, or should I say good Friday to you out there. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Thanks for tuning in. Mello is here. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Hey, you are here. I like that. It's good to hear your voice. Life is good. Now, you're supposed to be somewhere right now, aren't you?
I am. I'll be there. I still will make it for the last 5 hours, so I'm not too worried about it.
You can miss 1 hour out of six?
Yeah, 6 hours Ooh. Of CE. That's the joy of real estate. You have to be up on your hours. You need 18 hours every 2 years for your license.
Education.
Continuing education.
Continuing education. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is the topic of this conference that you're attending?
There's four different speakers, and if I'm being honest, I don't know the last two speakers. Okay, I don't know.
But you're learning a lot about AI, artificial intelligence?
Yeah, we learned about AI yesterday and the history of AI, and that was enough to put me to sleep.
I was going to say, how long did you sleep?
I took like a 5-minute power nap. I had my friend next to me in case I snored, so they could wake me up.
Throw an elbow at me if you hear any sound.
Yeah. But it was interesting. There's so many things that they can do with AI now, and it can help you in your business. So you could, like, if you're sending out like a voice email, like where it's a video of you, you can actually have, there's an AI that will change the name to each person. So it'll be personalized to each person. Hmm. So you say it once, like you say, hi, this is Mello with blah, blah, blah. I'm just reaching out to let you know that I really appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. It'll change their name on each email with your voice and your lips moving differently.
And it will emit the blah, blah, blah part.
Unless you say blah, 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 yeah, then it will include it. It's crazy. So many cool things.
I did yesterday on the morning show. This was early, though. This was in the 6 o'clock hour. But I played a segment by Kim Komando. She is the consumer tech goddess, they call her, or she calls herself. Anyway, she's keeping an eye on everything consumer tech. That's why I like to play her segment every day. But she was talking about AI. And she said, you know, the thing about artificial intelligence is everybody's kind of freaking out a little bit. Because artificial intelligence is going to take over the world, or all these companies are using it and they're deceiving. She said, let's be quite honest, at this point, it's not ready for all that. The companies that say they're using it don't really use it a whole lot or don't use it to its potential. And a lot of companies who say they're using it aren't even using it. So she said, there may come a day someday where we need to be concerned about AI, but it's a long, long way off.
Right, but the things it can do are so, like, just unheard of. Like, there was this guy, he spoke in English, he said, like, a 30-minute blurb, and then it took his image, and it changed it into French.
Really?
So his lips moved like he was speaking French, his voice sounded like he was speaking French, and repeated the same phrases. Wow. And then it did the same thing in German, and there was a German speaker in the audience and a French speaker in the audience, and they said, yes, that was correct.
Wow.
It was wild.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I know there is a new product out. It's like an ear, what do they call those? EarPods? Whatever the thing
you stick in your
AirPod. That's what it is. It actually translates in real time what someone is speaking a foreign language. I think right now it has like 7 foreign languages. It'll translate in real time, but eventually we'll have theoretically every language on earth.
I'd like to take that to the nail salon with me.
Somebody actually commented and said, getting your nails done will be a whole new experience now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did see this. There was like a TikTok or a meme or something. And this lady actually went and got her toenails done. And she had the translator on her phone in her lap. So it was listening, but the people didn't know. And they were talking about her big toe. They were literally talking about her feet right in front of her.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never had one of those. Have you had a pedicure before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm on a strike. Because right now, it cost me $100 to get my nails done and my toes done, like, at one spot. So I just go. And I'm like, I'm not going to spend that. So, like, I have nothing on my toes and nothing on my fingernails. And it's, like, the first time in a long time.
And you feel naked and weird.
I kind of did. I put sandals on this morning and I felt a little gross. I'm like, oh, maybe I should just put some
You know, you could paint them yourself.
I know, but I'm not very good at it. And it always gets everywhere.
Doesn't your husband, won't he do it for you?
Blah. No, I don't want him to.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. I actually have done my wife's toenails before, but I have been uninvited to doing those. Now, I think I didn't do a good enough job, or I got some on her toes. I don't know what I did, but she's like, I got this. Thanks anyway.
I could actually do my toes myself, but it's when I do my hands, it's hard to do my right hand.
That's true. Yeah, and left-handed. That's even true when you clip your nails. Right hand doing the left hand, piece of cake. Left hand doing the right hand, not so much.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you're ambidextrous.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
I read this article, and I like to bring you an article of the week, of course, on Fridays. This is from the website intellectualtakeout.org. The title is How Our Culture of Artificiality is Destroying Objective Reality. So, yeah, that's kind of a complicated title. But the article is actually less complicated than the title. In fact, I would like to rewrite their headline for them and put something like how you can have common sense educated out of you.
Okay, I can understand that a lot better. Thank you.
There's a famous picture, a before and after picture of this guy. He sent his daughter to college, and she was a sweet, wonderful, cute young lady. She went to college, and by 2 years, she had come back, and she was pierced everywhere. She had tattoos. She was wearing, gothic clothes, and it wasn't the same girl that he sent to college. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when that came out, and this was probably a year or two ago that it came out and was kind of making the rounds on social media. People fell into two camps. There was the camp, I think the dad's camp, which was, I can't believe college did this to my girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this whole other camp that said, good, she finally got out from under your thumb, and she finally is out thinking on her own and all this stuff. And I was just like, well, wait a minute. how is your child believing like you do and behaving like you taught her to do? How is that a bad thing? I don't get that. To me, it just kind of, and I've sent all my kids to college. My one son went to a technical school, but, every one of them have gone to post high school, some kind of education. And It's amazing to me some of the things they come home with. Well, my professor said this, or mm-hmm. I read about this that happened, back in the 60s, or about this that's happening now, or whatever. And I don't, being a parent isn't about brainwashing. Being a parent is teaching your kids what you believe is right, mm-hmm. the right way to go, the right way to do things. And then you let them flutter away, fly away. What's the old saying? If let it go, if it was yours, it'll come back. And mm-hmm. if it doesn't come back, then it never was yours or whatever. So you let them fly away. And hopefully you've done enough as a parent to at least influence their thought for the rest of their lives for good.
Right. I don't know. I have mixed thoughts on this one with the story you just said, because I wasn't all the way in either camp when you were describing the different camps.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to think that perhaps this girl that was like this innocent little girl and then went off to college, maybe her parents had too tight of a rein on her. And so when she finally got out on her own, then she wanted to experience everything to the fullest extent. So maybe it wasn't necessarily that college did this to her, but maybe the oppressiveness or the not letting her make her own choices in degrees, then once she could make all of her own choices, they were all terrible because it was her first time.
Well, and there's something to be said for that. I will caution me and you, we don't know what the home life was like for this girl.
Sure.
We have no idea. Maybe they were oppressive. I happen to believe that there are parents who put too much pressure on their kids that are too restrictive, and yes, kids are getting, when they do get out on their own, they're finally going to say, hey, I'm not under my parents' thumb anymore, I'm going to do this or try this. A lot of times they don't even really want to do that or try that. They just, it's their first chance to actually do something on their own,
right? Or to stick it to mom and dad.
That too. Mm-hmm. Which, when you call them and from with your one phone call from jail and you want them to bail you out, then you have a change of attitude a little bit. But anyway, so I just, we don't know enough about this girl, but I will say this. I think that there is a lot of people among academia, we're talking about college professors and the like, that want to change your kids by telling them you don't have to believe like your parents. If you taught your kids right, they already know you don't have to believe like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that I taught my kids that this is the best way to go, is to believe like me. You don't have to do it. It's your choice. And I have a couple of kids who have chosen to go another way. But I believe still that I taught to the best of my wife and I's ability that the best way to go for these kids. And, you know, then it's obviously it's up to them after a certain point.
Right. Everybody gets to make their own choices. So that's the good and the bad of it, right?
Let me read you a little bit of this article now because I think it's very, very poignant. This is written by Walker Larson. It's on the website intellectualtakeout.org. He says, I believe it is possible to have common sense educated out of you, whether by formal schooling, by one's culture, or both. When I was studying literature in college, professors would deride any literary interpretation that smelled of an essentialist view of morality. And we're getting a little deep here, but basically what they're saying is, and I had a class, Mello, in college, English literature class, and I remember reading this book, and the discussion broke out in class, led by the professor, of all the different things that the author must have meant when they wrote this story. And I remember sitting there thinking, maybe they just wrote what is exactly on the pages. Why does it have to mean so much?
Inference, yeah.
I mean, at one point, and I think it was The Scarlet Letter, but at one point, at the end of the movie, sorry, spoiler alert here, at the end of the book, she swims out to the into the ocean and commits suicide.
Right.
And they started talking about, now, what is the allegory of her committing suicide? And what are we to take to mean, what does this say about modern society and all this? And I'm just sitting there in the class going, I think she was ostracized by having to wear the Scarlet Letter, and she was so embarrassed and unhappy with her life that she killed herself. I don't think there is a whole lot more meaning to that. But boy, they wanted to assign all, I mean, they were talking about, you know, communism and socialism and capitalism. I mean, it was all this stuff that was coming in there. And I'm just like, I'm not seeing this, guys. I'm sorry, but you have gone, to me, they went, what's the old phrase? They jumped the shark. They they went so far out there that I couldn't go along for that ride.
Yeah, well, they've got to make everything an assignment, too.
So. That's true. Yeah, that's true. So more from the article. Everything now is a matter merely of your truth or my truth, not the truth. Ooh,
I like that.
Yeah, if you think about that, if a person, a young person, comes to you and says, "I declare that I am a woman today," when it's just clearly a man, what's your obligation? What are you on the hook for? Do you have to call that person a woman from that point on, even though he might have a beard and doesn't have breasts and you know, whatever? What's your obligation? What is the truth there? Is it his truth? Is it your truth? Is it the truth?
Right. That's really hard because in corporate America, you have to have to call them by what they want to be called, which is really hard because that's not your truth. But I have a hard time with that topic because so many people are struggling with that or identifying that because it's being portrayed as normalized in the society. And so now they can just do that, and then everybody else has to bend and sway to that identification.
More from the article. Let's see. An argument against transgenderism based on its disconnection from the reality of the unchanging nature of man and woman will be nonsensical to someone who does not believe in a firm reality outside the mind. We had a girl on yesterday. She grew up in Greece. She's Albanian, grew up in Greece. And she says some of the stuff, she told me off the air, she says some of the stuff in America is not an issue anywhere else in the world. It's so strange.
Really?
Transgenderism, I mean, there are pockets like in France and in England and stuff. But for the most part, people, you know, men are still men and women are still women. And most of the world believes that. Most of the world understands that. And it's interesting. On the one hand, hey, USA, we want to lead out. We want to show the world, you know, that we are progressive and everything. On the other hand, it's like sometimes the truth is still the truth, no matter what label you want to put on it or whatever. And sometimes I just think. So last year, my daughter worked in Park. Not last year. It was before her mission. So it was probably about 3 years ago. She worked in Park City for the summer, working at kind of a kids camp. And as part of the job, because housing is so expensive in Park City, they actually provided an apartment with a roommate in Park City for her to live. Well, her roommate was transgender. Now, fortunately, in my mind, and maybe I'm being a little close-minded on this, this transgender person was a female declaring themselves a male.
Oh.
Which, for me, I don't know. I know it sounds stupid, but I didn't want my daughter staying with a male declaring himself a female. That, to me, would have been messed up.
Yeah.
And but this was actually a woman, and you could clearly see when you, you know, when we went to visit and met the roommate that this was a woman who just didn't want to be a woman anymore for whatever reason. So my daughter had very little interaction with her, him. I don't even know what to call it. Them, they. I don't know. I don't.
They actually, would identify as a him.
And one kind of funny thing about that, my daughter is very, very much a stickler for the English language. She is a very logical, very much a stickler. And when she first met her this roommate, she said, and she introduced, you know, her name, and she said, "I go by they, them." And my daughter was like, "Here's the thing. I am not going to call you they. Because you're one person. If there was two of you, I would call you they. But there's only one of you, and so what do you want to be called?" And the roommate was kind of like, "Well, I'm not a she or a her, and I'm not a he or a him. I'm a they or a them." And my daughter's like, "I'm not gonna say that."
Oh my gosh, that makes so much more sense that you described it like that. I never understood why they went by they them. That never made sense to me.
Yeah, and poor Katie, she was like, "I don't even know what to call my roommate."
Right, just by their name.
Her real name, which is on the lease, is a woman's name. Mm-hmm. But she identifies as this male name. And she can't call her he, him, she, her. She has to call her they, them, which goes against everything in my daughter's brain as far as the English language. She had such a hard time with that she just... eventually what happened was she avoided her roommate. Any possibility when she could not be around her roommate, she made sure she wasn't there. In fact, she went home, she didn't go to St. George, but she went to Provo every weekend and stayed with her roommates in Provo so that she wouldn't have to hang out with them.
I know, it's so confusing. It's so confusing, especially when people are like, "Hey, yeah, they want to come over." I'm like, "Oh, who?" And then they say one person's name. I'm like, "Wait, no, that's only one person. That's her. She wants to come over." She's like, "No, it's they." I'm like, "No, it's she." And it's just an argument every time. It's so confusing.
In this article, it talks about how both parties, we don't know what to call transgenders. He says, if we can't agree on who or what we are, how can we ever agree on what it means to be a man or a woman, to have male or female nature? Perhaps we need to return to square one. It's somewhat idle to talk of convincing a relativist, for example, the right to life, the sacredness of marriage, or the proper role of government when everyone is not even speaking the same language. Mm. That's so true. Mm-hmm. How can we persuade someone of a particular truth when they do not believe in the very notion of truth? You think about that. If someone who is clearly a male or someone who is clearly a female one day decides that they're going to change what is true and declare themselves the other gender, they are taking away the reality of truth.
That's very interesting and hard to wrap my brain around.
I know, it's kind of deep. But if you think about it, truth is truth. Truth doesn't change because you feel a certain way. Truth doesn't change. Even if you have some kind of surgery, you are still, you are born. Your DNA still puts you as the gender that you were born into. Mm-hmm. And that will never change. It can change. It's impossible to change.
And that's what's so hard, because everybody else has to pretend for their identification, which is hard because not everybody else. I don't like to lie.
Right.
So it's really hard for me to be.
Yeah.
I'm still kind, but it's a struggle to not.
You're faced with this choice. Am I going to say what they want me to say, knowing in my brain and in my heart that it's not true?
Right. I just try not to use any pronouns or I just use direct names.
If you use "hey you," that pretty much covers everything, right?
Or whatever name they
say. But eventually they're going to say, "I'm not a me. I'm not a you." They keep moving the truth
needle
around.
Yeah, they do.
And to me, truth is truth. No matter how much you want to change, and no matter how much you want to make it relative to who you are and what you are, truth is still truth.
I agree.
And that's the frustrating part for, I think, most sane people. One thing that's cool, and we just have a couple minutes on this, but in Ireland, they had I thought this was so cool. In Ireland, they had a referendum election. That's basically an election to agree that they're going to change a law or change a wording or whatever on something. And there were two of them. And the idea for whoever presented these bills to change their constitution was to, for lack of a better word, degenderize their constitution. They wanted to take male and female out and just make it or they or them or whatever. And the Irish Constitution is written in such a way that it's very family-centric. It talks about husband and wife and families and raising children. And whoever wrote this bill, and I don't know who authored these bills, but they proposed to take the family out of the Constitution of Ireland. To
wow.
take women out of the house, take men out of the, you know, fatherhood. And just kind of, like I said, degenderize the whole thing. They put it on a ballot, both of these two different changes to the way things were worded. And hallelujah to the Irish. They soundly defeated both measures by more than 2-to-1 ratio.
Wow.
More than 67% of people said, no, we're not going to change the Constitution and degenderize it. Now, Ireland has its own problems, right? I mean, I'm not saying Ireland is perfect. But you said when you were in here a little while ago, you said, hallelujah, because the silent majority is stepped up. It's mm-hmm. real.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes we hear the loud minority, and oh, they are so loud sometimes.
They are so loud, and they're so so aggressive.
Aggressive and loud. And sometimes we get to the point where we start believing what they're saying because, gosh, if transgenderism is as common as they say, mm-hmm. then, boy, I missed the boat. Maybe I screwed up. Maybe I need to change the way I think.
Right.
And then something like this vote in Ireland happens.
Right. But have you been to the movie theaters over here on Sunset?
Yeah.
Okay. If you go there, I've been there several times, and on their name tags, there are some people that are transgender. No. And it says he, him, and it'll say she, I don't know what the other
one
is.
She, her.
She, her.
She, her.
And it'll have that plus their name. Just yeah. food for thought. So at least that helps you, like, not call them the wrong identification. I don't know. Anyway, just sorry. Food for thought.
I know there have been teachers who have taken a stand in Washington County School District in Utah, who was, you know, a kid has come to them and said, I am declaring myself transgender, or I am declaring myself this, you know, their name might be John. And they said, well, I'm going to go by Patricia now. I know these are old names. I'm sorry. Brittany, I don't know, Mikkel, whatever. Anyway, and the teachers have said, look, I've known you for all the years you've been in my school, and you've always been John. I am not going to call you that. And the teachers have been suspended. They've been called to the cart. They've gotten in trouble. But kudos to those teachers. They use these weapons against us to say, oh, you're close-minded. You won't listen. But I still contend the truth is truth. And it doesn't matter what you do with truth. It is still truth. There are certain things that are true. Your birth certificate says you're a male. Your birth certificate says you're a female.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. All right, we've got to get a weather break in. It is 9:32 on KDXU.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 9:36 on this Good Friday morning. For those of you who are religious, and I am, this is the day that Christ was crucified. 3 days later, Easter Sunday, he would emerge from the tomb, victorious, resurrected being. Pretty cool. I'm not going to get too religious on you today, but that's something, a belief I hold very firm in my heart. You've never changed my mind, so. Mello, thanks for coming and helping out today.
Yeah, so happy to be here.
It is also, let's see, we got the St. George Art Festival going on. I have a little caricature on my wall back there, and I'm sure Mello's seen it hundreds of times. Well, maybe not hundreds, dozens of times. We met the guy that did that picture at the art festival, but, and I thought, that'd be really cool to have a caricature painted of me and put on the wall in the studio.
I like
kind
it.
Of fun.
It's great.
But the guy, there were like five people in line, and it takes them 20 to 30 minutes to do one. Mm. And I'm like, I am not waiting 2 hours to get a caricature done. So what I did was I grabbed one of his cards, and I called him the maybe Monday or Tuesday after the art festival was over. And I said, hey, do you do caricatures off of photographs? I said, you've never met me, but I you know, what are the chances of you doing this? And he said, well, not normally, but he said, I can try it, and I'll submit it to you. And if you like it, then we'll do it. So I sent him a photograph of me, and he put together the caricature. The only problem with it was I had just lost a lot of weight, like 100 pounds.
Wow.
And folks that know caricatures, okay, they are known for, these artists, for kind of exaggerating, maybe is a better word, yeah, a part of your anatomy. Maybe you have a big nose, or you have big eyes, or
right,
you have a mole on your cheek, or whatever. And that's kind of what makes caricatures fun. But like I said, I just lost a bunch of weight, and he found a way to make me look really fat in the caricature. Like I had big giant cheeks and a big giant chin and stuff. And I actually was like, I called him when I got it, and I said, hey, you know, first of all, you're very talented. Did a great job. But
that negates everything you said before that.
It doesn't negate it.
That is. But when you say but, it negates every nice thing you said before.
But I laid it out for him. I said, I just barely lost a bunch of weight, over 100 pounds. And for you to accentuate me being fat in this caricature, kind of, it negates the fact that I just lost a bunch of weight. And he was like, oh, because he didn't know anything about me.
Yeah, he hadn't even met you.
And so and the one on the wall right now is actually the second edition.
I want to see the first one.
I sent it back to him.
You did?
Yeah, I don't. He probably tore it up, but I feel bad because he had to start over.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're an artist, having to do something twice probably really sucks. I hated having to do things a second time, right?
Yeah.
He was very gracious, and it cost $100 or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it cost. But I'm happy that he was good to work with.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to be here at this year's art festival. I'm going to look for him and tell him thank you if he is here, and say, man, you did a great job, and I love having that on the wall
it's
here.
It's really nice. I like it.
Yeah. That's one of the many artists that are on display at the art festival. I think they have, I don't know, say 140 different artists.
It's so amazing. There's so many talented people, like woodworkers, yeah, and crafters and pottery.
Sculptors and,
yes,
all kinds of stuff.
Amazing.
And then they have live music going on, mm-hmm, too. And in fact, the headliner tonight is a band called the National Parks.
Okay.
Which is an interesting name, because you're like, National Park, okay. Well, no, that's actually the name of the band, and they'll be performing, I think, from like 5 to 7 tonight.
Oh, it's tonight, too?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
So, it's going to be really cool. Do you have any art festival memories? Is there anything about it that you, not really?
I just like to walk around. I have a friend that sells jewelry, so I'll usually go to her booth and
nice,
check it out.
My buddy, Big Lud, Yori Ludvigsen, he'll have his barbecue truck there.
Oh, love barbecue.
So good. Yeah, so good. If you have, now, some of you are like, barbecue, you got brisket and pork, right, and sausage. He does maybe the best smoked turkey that you will ever have in your life. And I know people are like, well, turkey's not really barbecue. It can be barbecue, and it is so good. Just trust me on this one. If you see Yori, you go to Yori's truck, and normally he's parked down here by Neater's on Bluff Street, right by the boulevard there. Try his smoked turkey. It is to die for.
Mm. I'm going to take your word for that.
Okay. Also, tomorrow. Now, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, off and on. So I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but I really want to go to the car show, the Easter car show out in Hurricane.
Oh.
We talked with Dorella yesterday about that, and the girl from Greece, and mm-hmm, she was pretty, it's funny, she goes, oh, I love Mustangs and Camaros and Chargers, and I'm like, wait, what? Now, the old Chargers were really cool cars, but the new Chargers, I'm sorry if you're driving one right now. I apologize. But
my brother drives one.
Yeah, they're just okay.
Yeah.
But the car show, if the weather is decent, there will be over 300 cars there. And you see cars that you'll never see again in your life. Some of them are so unique and original.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tomorrow. I think it's 10 to 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at the Hurricane City Center there, the Easter Car Show. We've had some really great weather there the last few years. In fact, it was downright hot last year, this time of year. But it's supposed to be a little rainy and cooler tomorrow. We'll see how things turn out.
Yeah, I'll be in Mesquite tomorrow night with the
I know. Band. In fact, I'm going to do a commercial about that in just a minute.
So excited.
Mesquite Casablanca Resort
mm-hmm.
with Corduroy.
Yeah, and there.
Have you done some reading up on Corduroy? Do you know what you're going to talk about tonight? Or,
they're
tomorrow night, I mean?
They're Nirvana, like a Nirvana cover band, which would be awesome.
I thought it was Pearl Jam.
I heard it was Nirvana. Is it Pearl Jam?
I'm going to read the thing here. Let's see. Corduroy, a Pearl Jam tribute.
Oh, Pearl
band.
Jam.
Pearl
I heard Jam. Nirvana. Maybe I read the wrong line.
But it does also say that some reminisce with some of the greatest hits from the 90s.
Okay.
So, and that would certainly include Nirvana and the whole grunge thing. Now, I was telling Stockton earlier today, I said, you know, in the 90s, I was busy having kids and raising a family and working all the time. And honestly, I never got into the whole grunge thing. It smells like Teen Spirit and all that stuff.
That
I'm
song.
Like, I don't know that stuff. Sorry. Yeah.
They had, they used to have mosh pits. At parties.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
And they would, like, jump around and, like...
That sounds dangerous.
...bang into each other and stayed out of those mosh pits. I'm not one for those.
I was thinking, imagine me in a mosh pit.
Oh, you'd hurt somebody.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big dude. And these four little 110-pound girls would be banging into me and bouncing off, basically. And be like bugs smashing
like
on a windshield.
Like a brick wall. Yeah.
So, we might as well talk about it right now. Get ready to rock in Mesquite. The Casablanca Showroom in Mesquite is bringing you an epic lineup of different rock tribute concerts every Saturday in March, including Corduroy tomorrow night, a Pearl Jam tribute band, and the whole concert, the whole thing will be hosted by one Melody Finlayson.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. It starts at 8 o'clock. Go to CasablancaResort.com to find out more. Tickets start at $40. Yesterday, we gave away two sets of tickets. This is pretty cool. Not only did they get two tickets, I think Jim and Yvette won, they got free drinks all night long.
Wow.
So as part of it, that is pretty groovy. Anyway, go to CasablancaResort.com to learn more and get yourself a ticket. I don't have any more tickets to give. I gave them all away. Sorry about that. They needed them in by Thursday afternoon, so that's why I gave them away yesterday. But, in the past, they've had, Doc Siders, a tribute to the 70s. You had a band that came in and did a tribute to the 80s. Tomorrow night, it is the 90s.
Which I'm happy about.
Yeah. Mello is going to host it. I wish I could go, but I didn't save any tickets for myself. So
I could probably get you in.
You could?
Maybe.
Yeah. Don't speak if you can't.
Yeah. If not, I'd buy your ticket.
All right. We'll take a commercial break. Back with more on the show after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. 948 on KDXU. Yori texted me, said, hey, thanks, man, for the shout out on the radio. Yori promised to share some smoked turkey with me soon. So,
yum.
I love Yori. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet on the planet is Yori Ludvigsen. He and my brother Ben, brother-in-law Ben, are two of the nicest humans on the planet. There's three of them. My buddy Milt, who works in there, so he's not listening right now, but he works in Enterprise. Well, maybe he's off today. I don't know. Anyway, just nice guys. To me, nice guy isn't just about being nice, because I'm really nice, but these guys go above and beyond that. They'll do stuff for you without even being asked to do so. I remember one time I was making, I was barbecuing meat for a party, and I was a little worried that I wasn't going to have enough. I'm like, man, is this enough for 40 people or whatever? Yori, unsolicited, said, here, take a pan of pulled pork, just in case. He didn't charge me for it. He just was like, here, take this.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, what kind of a nice person? I mean, that's incredible. Right. So
sees the need and just feels it. Those are good people to have around. Yeah.
And my brother-in-law, first one to get up and do the dishes or clean or carry stuff. He's just one of those guys that you're like, wow, how does he do this?
Super helpful. So, I like people like that. Yeah,
very awesome. Checking other texts. Let's see. Scotty says, I'm a San Pete County native turkey country. You are right. Barbecue turkey is the best. Thank you, Scotty. I agree with you.
I'll have to try it.
So
I don't know.
So good. So good. If you want to text me, we have about 10 minutes left. 467-5842. That's the 435 area code. And then 467-5842. If you'd like to call, you can call us at 673-5890 is the phone number. It was fun having Dorella on yesterday. And I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name again because I butcher it almost every time. but she was born in Albania, raised in Greece, moved to California in her 20s, and then moved to Utah just a year ago. And she said, unlike California, Utah is so nice. Everyone here is so nice and upfront and honest. And that's cool to hear.
It is good.
One of the things that was really inspiring to me yesterday, too, Mella, was the fact that I brought this up with her. I said, you know, there are so many people that don't think America is great anymore. There's so many people in this country who are bashing on this country. And she said, I can tell you from experience, having lived in 4 or 5 different countries during the course of my lifetime, America is the greatest country in the world. And that was so good to hear.
It is, because there are a lot of people that bash on America and like then move to Canada or move somewhere else.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
And the thing is these people that are bashing on America have never lived in some of these other countries. They don't know.
They're entitled.
They just think, oh, well, it can't be that great because they don't do what I tell them to. They don't move they don't submit to my false truth. Mm-hmm. It was really refreshing and good to hear on here. By the way, great job on the show last Friday, Mello. Somebody texted that in.
Oh, thank you. That makes me happy.
Thank you for covering for me.
That was fun.
Appreciate that. I got to sit. It was a week ago today, I think. Maybe it was tomorrow. Anyway, I got to sit on my son's couch and have, for a time, 4 grandkids, but most of the time 2 grandkids, just sit there and we read book after book after book after book.
That is and the sweetest thing
it
I've
was awesome.
Heard.
It
I
was
hope your wife got a picture.
I'll have to ask her. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's like the sweetest memory.
The only bad thing about it, when you're 3 years old, you have no... Well, they coughed on me a lot. They both had colds, and they both coughed on me. And guess what I'm getting right now?
Yes, not a cold.
I've got a cold coming.
No.
Yes.
That's the worst. But it was worth it.
But it was totally worth it. Yeah. Absolutely worth it.
Oh, yeah. Man. I know. Little babies. I love them.
Great times, yeah. Okay, a couple of things to take care of. I've got an article on 890kdxu.com right now. The title of the article is, Hey, Washington County, your dogs are eating these things, and it's killing them. In reference to your backyard, now I don't have a pet right now. My wife is really bad asthma onset asthma with pet dander, so we haven't had pets. Actually, we had a couple, but it didn't work out so well. But anyway, just be aware that as we start to emerge from our caves and in winter and you know, we want our yards to be beautiful. There are things that will harm your dogs, especially your cats too, but your dogs, in your yard. For instance, toxic flowers. If you have azaleas, century plants, aloe, oleander, and sago palm, among many others, they can harm your, even kill your dog. Just be aware of that. A lot of people like to play with sticks with their dogs. That's fine, except for remember, just because it's a dog doesn't mean that they can't get splinters and choke on things like that. So keep that in mind. The tradition now is to get mulch made out of cocoa byproducts, cocoa mulch, they call it. Chocolate, as you know, is poisonous for your dog. So is cocoa mulch, and they will try to eat it. Lawn chemicals, a study published in the Science of Total Environment found that lawn chemicals are commonly found in the urine of pet dogs, leading to bladder cancer.
Mm.
Mm, yeah. Pesticides, also ponds and fountains. We have a little fountain in our backyard. If you do not keep them clean and clear, bacteria and algae can grow, and some of those are toxic to dogs. Provide your dog a clean dish of water to drink from.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, your garden. Did you know onions, tomatoes, chives, and garlic are poisonous to dogs? Mm-mm. Yes, they are. And they can cause gastrointestinal irritation, red blood cell damage, and eventually lead to a premature death.
Wow. Hey, I just want to tell you one thing that I thought of when you were talking about throwing sticks for the dog.
Uh-huh.
My parents, after we all left home, bought a Rottweiler.
Okay.
And this Rottweiler didn't catch sticks. No, my dad had a tire, like a tire from a car in the backyard, and he would roll it, and the dog would run next to it and put it around his neck and pop it up on his head and run it back to my dad. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Just had to tell you.
That is cool. One other article on KDXU.com in Southern, this is one I wrote, in Southern Utah, these pests, P-E-S-T-S, I had a hard time with that, because I've been saying pets, but these are pests. These pests are living rent-free, and you are the landlord. The top seven pests living rent-free in Southern Utah, cockroaches, rodents, lizards, although they don't usually come in the house because they are cold-blooded animals. They are, I know our backyard, we have a colony of lizards. Mm-hmm. Scorpions. Mm. I'll never forget one time I used to do the pages just for the Spectre. This is back in the 90s. Mm. Because we worked late at night, I would wear flip-flops or whatever to work. And one night I'm sitting there and I see this thing crawl across my foot and across the floor, and I was like, what the heck was that? I didn't feel it, but I saw it.
Oh, no.
And about 10 seconds later, our photographer puts an upside-down trash can on the floor. He says, got it! I'm like, got what? He says, well, this is a big old white scorpion. And he said, I said, that just crawled across my foot. And he said, well, it probably wouldn't have killed you.
I heard the littlest ones are most poisonous.
That's true. Although, according to experts, they say, some scorpions are more venomous than others, but all are more afraid of you than you are of them. They can be painful, but rarely deadly, unless you're very young or very old. So if they were to sting a child or an elderly person, that can be deadly. So, black widow spiders, not true with them. Black widow spiders can kill you.
Really?
Now, if they bite you, say, on your foot, it's probably not going to kill you. But if they were to bite you somewhere close to your heart or your brain, poison could, yeah. Ants were number six and number seven for top pests in Southern Utah, wasps and hornets.
You know, I got stung by wasps for the first time.
Yeah?
And it hurt like so bad. And he got me twice before I got in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was very painful and quite fresh in my mind.
I like the bee idea. If they're going to sting you, they're going to die. Because, you know, their stinger comes off and they die.
Yeah.
Wasps and hornets are not that way. If they sting you, they are going to keep on living.
They're just mean.
They're mean. That's right. We recently had a bat take up residence in our front porch area, front patio area.
Right, up under the eaves.
And we had to use, they actually don't like mint and they don't like cleaning products. And so we actually got, even though it's like 9 feet high, we got it like a mop and went up there and mopped the area, and the bat didn't come back. Oh. He's like, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So
my daughter's like into wildlife conservation, and she said I should get a bat box on the side of my house.
Bat
I'm
box?
Like, I don't want them. She's like, Mom, they eat bugs. I'm like, I don't care.
9:58 on KDX. We have 1 minute to talk conspiracies. Now, you had one.
Yes.
And then I have one, and I don't believe mine. Do you believe yours? Tell me what it is.
I do believe mine.
One minute.
Kate Middleton was AI when she announced her cancer. That was an AI generated.
So does that mean she doesn't have cancer? Or
maybe she's still missing. Maybe the conspiracies were right that she's still missing, and they produced this AI video to just make everybody think she's not.
Okay. The one I have, and again, we're down to 30 seconds now. The one I have is supposedly the ship that crashed into the bridge in Baltimore. It was purposely done. And all the footage we saw of it being an accident and stuff was all CGI because they said you can see cars appearing and disappearing on the bridge and stuff like that.
Oh.
And they think it was all done on purpose.
Like 9/11.
I'm not buying it.
No, I don't know.
It's an interesting theory. So, Mello loves her theories.
I love conspiracy theories.
She loves her theories. Most of the time, I'm like, nah, come on. Let's be real. Mal, thanks for coming on today. Again, thanks for last week filling in for me.
Thank you. I loved it.
Appreciate it. And that'll do it for Friday here on The Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for tuning in. Jack Lancaster will join me on Monday on the show. We'll talk to you then.